place to be born. Giving distinction to the role, different players, different strokes. But let me tell you about one. Well, good morning, everybody, from Sanford, North Carolina. Mike Raley here. I'm back from wherever I went. I'm not sure I'm all here.
Well, you did miss two turns today. You must.
I did. I was running my mouth. We were headed. I knew where I was going. I knew exactly where I was going, and I missed it because I was talking with Rufus because he's mesmerizing. You know, just to listen to him, and then I start talking, and what we need is a driver. we need a driver so we can talk, and that way we didn't get lost. We just took a few turns we didn't mean to, but we're glad to be in Sanford. And nearby, one of my favorite places to eat, Yarborough's, and we're at the Sanford Farmers Market. Farmers markets are so important to North Carolina and to each town, each community, and so many more are, and it's becoming very sophisticated. Rufus, I'm blown away by this one. They have wonderful things out here for sale, and beautiful plants.
Well, I just saw him. I call him the Mushroom Man out there. Makes wooden mushrooms with chainsaws, and they go from as big as your hand to the size of a football, and they're beautiful.
You just never know.
He's a mushroom, wooden mushroom guy. Don't try to cut them up and put them in a souffle.
Now, Amanda Wilkins was going to be with us, but she's doing her best to have a baby, and we're so thrilled for her, and our prayers to her, the best wishes, everything to that young couple and to that that new baby to be. And
I think she said it was a she.
A she. Well, yeah. She. Yeah. We're glad that she's coming in, and we can't wait to meet her. But she sent her boss, Bill Stone, who actually recommended her for this gig of coming and dealing with us. Bill Stone is the extension chairman. Is that proper? Is that that's what I am used to? Is that proper term for your job now?
Well, Mike, it was.
Or director, I guess.
Director, yeah. A few years ago, chairman, director, but I'll answer to any of those things. So that's perfectly
I am so glad. I told him I was thrilled that you listened and that you wrote me an email and asked if I would like to have Amanda Wilkins on. And I'll tell you, when I told the other extension agents that I was going to have Amanda Wilkins on, she's a rock star. So y'all are, I know you know how lucky you are. And she's lucky to be working for you, but you're lucky to have her. And I know you know that. And we're sorry she's not here today, but we're going to have a good time at this farmer's market. I've heard a lot about it. She has really promoted it well. And there's a young lady, I don't know where she is who does a lot of the promotion for y'all, and she's an entomologist. We were talking about the cicadas, which I want to talk to her about, but I guess she's busy running around. But, Bill, thank you for having us down here. How nice.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mike and Rufus, for being here today. We're thrilled, and I am a longtime listener, so this is like surreal for me. So
why do you listen?
Well, I'll tell you, it's one of those things. It's almost nostalgic to me now. The program, and I know, and not to sound negative, because sometimes people equate nostalgia with old stuff.
Well, we're old.
But no, I say nostalgic in a really good way, where it just brings about fond memories about growing up in North Carolina, about just being outdoors, being outside in the morning. A lot of times now I put my headphones on if I'm working outside in the yard or out in the garden, listen to you guys. where my wife and I live, it's an old our old family home place. We built a house there 10 years ago, and her grandfather still has his old workshop back there, his old shed, and he had it he's got it wired up. So whenever you go in there and turn the lights on and turn the power on, the radio automatically cuts on.
Oh,
so the radio would always cut on Saturday morning whenever I'd go in there if I was working on a project. Lights on, radio on. It was always on 680, Weekend Gardener, and it would cut on. So it's just those memories, I think, are what's really so special.
That is such a compliment.
Well, you know, Mike, I was thinking about our Weekend Gardener magazine. I believe that we should have someone like Bill sometime write an article. What does the Weekend Gardener mean to you? That would be a very nice article. You could do that.
I'd love that. Yeah, that would really be nice. I was overseas for 2 weeks, and you were talking about nostalgia. Now, I was sitting on the top of a wall, an old wall that was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old in Dubrovnik, Croatia, listening to the Weekend Gardener. And I called in to the Weekend Gardener. So, yeah, we've come a long way in technology, but there's nothing like the old style, and nothing like tuning up an old analog radio, even in this day and age, to hear this good sound.
We have people that I see on the street, and they'll hear my voice say, "Oh, that's Rufus," without even looking at me, because they might run if they saw me. But they say about the Weekend Gardener that it's their form of security, entertainment, nice family stuff,
yeah,
and hearing ancient people like me talk about things.
Right, yeah.
I can't imagine anybody wanting to hear that.
We try to be up to date. Well, I think we are with the gardening. So, yeah. I mean, people, that transcends generations. And we stay up with the technology, so when we're current but old. But that's okay. We're nostalgic. I like the nostalgic. So we have lots of people today, and Michelle Hamilton is with us. And Michelle, tell us about all that you do.
Okay, sure.
I'm just fascinated. I heard you say that. Did you live in Denmark?
I did.
My sister-in-law did too. She married a Dane.
Oh,
many years ago, and I've been there, and it's a beautiful country.
Oh, definitely. We're actually planning to go back to visit here in September. But I work at Carolina Town and Country here in Sanford, North Carolina.
And everybody knows about that.
Oh, I hope so.
They do.
I love it. We right now is, of course, our chick season, so we have, we're getting, I would say, probably about 500 chickens a week at least that we really enjoy. We get people drive from all over to come get chicks from us, which I think is really cool. But the main part of my job, I guess, is I'm in charge of most of our social media, and I do a lot of our event planning.
Yeah. Yeah, chicks. Rufus, I know you dealt with chickens growing up of all kinds. And
Dominickers, Rhode Island Red.
All of
them. I have a neighbor with chickens, and the rooster reminds me of growing up. And what we had, we had to put the chicken boxes where they laid the eggs up high because the dogs like to... You call it an egg-sucking dog. You couldn't have that, could you, Bill?
No. I've got one right now, Rufus. I know. I feel your...
It's something about dog loves a chicken egg.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the poultry industry, I know, has really been thriving in North Carolina. Tell us more about the industry and the people who come in and buy.
Yeah, sure. So it really started, I think, in 2022, I would say. I mean, it's definitely started to grow with 2020 and COVID. But I think last year was our biggest year yet as far as ordering chickens, and we probably get in. I just asked our lady who orders chickens a few months ago, but she says we get about 1,800 chicks a year. That's how many we get into our store and we sell. In the beginning, it was, you know, you just saw normal farmers come get them. And now it's changing to where it's like everybody's getting chickens.
I have found that in Raleigh, there's some very elaborate houses that have been built for in some of the ritziest parts of Raleigh for chickens. And, you know, they're having chickens around is kind of soothing, you know, kind of relaxing. Have you ever noticed that, Rufus?
Yeah, the cluck, cluck.
Yeah,
well, Michelle, have you heard, back in my day, I guess they still do it, you could order chicks in the mail.
Yeah, that's how we get them. That's how we get them. We,
okay.
Yeah, we have several different hatcheries that we order from, and then usually they'll hatch the chicks out on Wednesday. They'll ship them on Thursday, and we have them on Friday.
Yeah. I remember in anticipation, Miss Addie Clausen was our mail deliverer on Route 1 Booning Sea. And the time of year for the chicks to come, I was a little boy, and that was the most exciting thing in the world. Miss Addie Clausen, the mail delivery woman, would be bringing the chicks in the mail.
That's nice. We don't get them delivered anymore. We have to go pick them up because we get so many.
Right.
Well, it's amazing how something like that that you wouldn't expect to take off and to be that popular to actually, you know, people are. I don't know. It's kind of a nice sign, I think, that people are wanting to raise chickens and to raise gardens in their home and learn. And I think a lot of this happened after the recession in 08. We started getting a lot more questions on growing vegetables, and it's a wonderful thing. Are they hard? I've never owned chickens. Are they hard to deal with?
I don't think so. I think it depends, but it also depends on what breeds you have. There's definitely some that are harder to raise than others. Some are a little bit more fragile and finicky. But in general, I think if you get like the heritage breeds, like your Rhode Island Reds, Dominickers, stuff like that, then they're really easy to raise.
You ever heard of Plymouth Rock also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It used to be at the State Fair, they would have the house with the chickens in it. Some of the most exotic-looking creatures you've ever seen in your life. I used to love going.
Well, there's some that they're different colors too. I don't know if that what breed that is. The different colored eggs.
Yeah, you have your Americanas or Easter Eggers who lay like the green, or sometimes you can get like a peach. But they've really changed it now too, where they've started, you know, mixing a lot of different breeds. So now you can get like olive colored eggs, you can get speckled eggs, all kinds of stuff. They've really grown there.
Mike, I'll bet that Bill gets questions about how do I start raising chickens in my backyard?
He probably gets all kinds of questions, being the director.
We do get a lot of questions like that, Rufus, and I would agree, Mike. I think we've seen that trend probably, you know, around 2008, 2010, where a lot of folks were starting to call us with those homesteading type questions, mm-hmm. where they were interested in backyard chickens or interested in learning how to can preserving food, growing a garden, doing those type of things, and we love those questions. Going back to what you asked, Rufus. We do have a lot of resources and materials there to help folks get started with their backyard flock. Matter of fact, last weekend at the farmers market here, we had our livestock agent was out here demonstrating how to basically, you know, get going if you want to start with chickens. And Town and Country was generous enough to donate some of the supplies. They have everything you need over there. My wife has actually told me that I need to stop going over there and getting chickens. We have 45 hens and three roosters.
Okay, she's laying down the law, huh?
So when we were talking,
lay down, lay an egg,
laying down the law. Well, you know, right.
Laying down the law. So, but you know, it is kind of soothing when you let those chickens out and they're scratching and clucking and it's really cool. But yeah, no, it's a great hobby, I think, to get into. It's great for kids. You know, kids love the chickens. You know, handling them, holding them, going out. My kids love to go collect eggs and you know, see what the chickens are doing. So it's a really great learning experience.
Michelle, we'll talk to you some more coming up. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener on WPTF. We're at the Sanford Farmers Market. Bill, what street are we on here? It's across from Yardbirds. That's all
is,
I know.
What is that? Wicker Street. Wicker Street and Charlotte Avenue.
Wicker Street.
Yep.
Is that named after our friend?
Buttermilk and Biscuit Bar, too.
You got it. You got it all right here.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
Is that named after Dennis Wicker, Jr. or Sr.?
I want to say it's in that family.
Yeah.
I know the civic center in town is named after the lieutenant governor,
right.
Dennis Wicker Jr. But
fine human being. I didn't know his father. My father-in-law knew his father very well, also a legislator. But I haven't seen Lieutenant Governor Wicker in a long time.
Yeah, I hope he's well. I served with him when I was both Attorney General and Secretary of State. A fine gentleman.
Fine person. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. I think I just said that, but I can't say it too often, right? WPTF in Raleigh, it's 8:23. More coming up. We're back on WPTF with The Weekend Gardener. We're in Sanford. We are on Wicker Street. We're across from one of my favorite restaurants in the world, Yarborough's. And this is the home of the Sanford Farmers Market right across the street, and has been for a long time. I hope lots of people will come out today. We seem to be avoiding the rain, which is nice. It's very pleasant out here today.
Maybe it's avoiding us.
Yeah, well, that could be.
Yeah, because we don't have much control over it now, Mike. I want you to know that.
Well, I figured you did, but the all-powerful. But, you know, a lot of people are tired of waking up to find their precious garden decimated by pesky critters. Say, say goodbye to those problems. Battling those unwanted visitors with I Must Garden Natural Animal Repellents. The ultimate solution for gardeners everywhere. Whether it's deer and rabbits munching on your flowers, squirrels digging in your beds, moles and voles tunneling through your lawn, or snakes slithering too close for comfort. I know you don't like them. I don't either. But we got to have them. I Must Garden.
I doubt that.
You don't really have anything against them. Our specifically formulated repellents are crafted with botanical oils and natural ingredients, creating highly effective repellents. There are no harsh chemicals, just pure, reliable protection. Now, the repellents are safe to use around children and pets and beneficial wildlife. Say goodbye. Just say goodbye to toxic chemicals. And hello to a garden that flourishes in harmony with nature. I Must Garden repellents are available at local garden centers and hardware stores all over the Triangle area, including Homewood Nursery in Raleigh, Town and Country Hardware Stores, and protect your garden today with I Must Garden repellents. Maryland wants you to do that. People, pet, and eco-safe. And I Must Garden, your ultimate defense against garden pests. So it's almost time for news. But Meredith Favre is with us. And Meredith, we only got about a minute before news. But you are partly responsible for this. And you're with the Extension Service. I think that's so neat that the Extension Service is so allied with a working farmer's market in a beautiful town like this. And I salute you.
Thank you. It's a wonderful opportunity that the Extension Office gets to support our local farms. And my position, I'm a local foods agent, which is a newer position to Extension. Mm-hmm. And our role is essentially to help move food in our counties easier. So we're here to support our local farms, helping them get started, especially new and beginning farmers. It's a big learning curve, so we're here to help them through the Extension Office's resources, but also helping to promote local foods in downtown areas and places that we have a lot of farms and a lot of produce. And how can we we help that produce get into stores, get into grocery stores easier? How can we help everyone access local foods? Because traditionally, foods that are local might be a little bit more expensive in certain areas. So we're trying to help with that.
Very good. And she's also a bug specialist, an entomologist. So we're going to use you for that, too, this morning. We'll be back with the news. All right, boys, we're back. and girls, definitely girls here. So we were talking about Cedar Grove and Colwell. I don't know why, but the Rufus has to go to a wedding today somewhere. We're not sure where. Do you know where the...
One of the venues that came to there. Wait,
I hope there'll be something more interesting than that, for goodness sake. We're at the Sanford Farmers Market. We're in Lee County. And... we hope you will come out. We're on Wicker Street, not far from the National Guard Armory, and some very historic buildings, some beautiful buildings here. I just love Sanford. My father, I remember my father-in-law sitting in Yarborough's and pointing over this way and said that they built carriages in that building a hundred years ago. They were doing it, I suppose, and caissons and all kinds of
buggy
things.
Buggy whips, probably.
Yeah. So this is quite a town. It's bustling, vibrant, and, that's good to see.
What they've done downtown is would please my wife very much, who was big into historic preservation for our two guests here and was Raleigh's first historic preservation planner. And so she's real... up on downtown Sanford. She says they've done a wonderful job.
They sure have. And there's some extraordinary buildings here, as I mentioned. My father-in-law used to walk, grew up in Lemon Springs, and he walked from Lemon Springs, which is, I don't know how many miles away, to school, where the railroad station is. It was a school.
Oh,
that's where the high school was.
Mr. Reeves.
Mr. Reeves did. So, and played football, and he was on the fire... He was on the fire crew because the train went behind the school, and it would set the grass on fire sometimes. So they had to put it out.
Good training. Yeah.
So the students had to put it out. All right. A lot of Sanford businesses making it possible for us to be here today, including Carolina Town and Country Hardware. We've been talking to Michelle and Gross Farms, Tina Gross. Ag South, thank you all, and thanks to all these vendors out here this morning. I haven't had time to walk around, and I hope to do that before we leave, or if us walk around. And well, you've already walked around. What have you seen?
I might go back with the plant. I just don't know. I
know there's some gorgeous
square foot left somewhere on the 2.5 acres that something can
it's
go
nice
in.
Fig tree over there. I don't know what variety it is. A couple of them. As a matter of fact, how are your figs forming?
Well, as a usual nature of the thing, I have Celeste trees, over 100 years old, by the way, the ladies. And a crop comes in very early of 15 or 20 that already is as big as a goose egg.
Yeah.
And then the other crop comes in about July.
Yeah.
And most people around here love brown turkey. I'm a Celeste guy. That's simply because I grew up with them.
Yeah, well, that's they're
such a wonderful plant.
They are.
Yeah, they detect all the abuse in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
cut them to the ground. If you want something to come back, cut them to the ground.
Meredith, we talked about cicadas. I don't know if we talked about them on the air or not. I don't think so. But the cicadas are here, and I mean we normally have cicadas later in the summer. In late summer is when I remember them. But we have a special variety now. And boy, are they loud.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have the periodic cicadas that are showing up all over the place right now. I live in Cary, and we have Cicada exuvia, or the little shells of the little baby cicadas that are all over all the vertical surfaces, because they're using that to break out and expand their wings as adults. And so they're doing that very early in the morning. And you can hear the periodic cicadas. They have a different sound than your typical annual cicadas.
Is that come from the expanding the wings? What's the... What's the mechanism there?
So in their abdomen, they actually have these different segments, and they rattle them, and so it creates the sound that you hear. Oh, and every species
jelly
has
belly,
a different
sound. Huh?
Yeah.
And it makes good chicken food, doesn't it? Chickens like them?
Yeah, they do. I mean, chickens will eat just about anything.
I guess it's really gourmet stuff for a chicken. Yeah. Get a cicada.
I have some chickens in my yard, and I actually saw one catch a cicada midair as it was flying. So.
Wow, that was a hungry chicken.
Yes.
Yeah. So what, I don't know that you handle, do you handle insect questions from Lee County folks when they call the Extension Service since you're a entomologist. What's bothering people right now? Because I know it was a warm winter and they got to be out there.
Absolutely. I love bug questions that come into the Extension office. They're my favorite. And it's nice that I can tag team with our horticulture agent. She handles a lot of the plant questions. I handle the bug questions. We definitely had questions about cicadas coming in. We always get mosquito questions, ticks when they start to come out as well. A lot of squash bugs, a lot of stink bug questions. So, you know, as things are kind of waking up, we see different calls coming in, but a lot of it's garden pests. Some are structural pests, and we help with identifying those insects if they come in. We can help different services as well with that.
Michelle, I read one time about the ticks that
Meredith.
That's Michelle.
That's Michelle. That's
Michelle's the chicken.
I'm having the same problem. All these M's.
I read that to expect ticks if you're walking through the woods. The upper part of your body more than anything else, because they seem to know that you, it's easier to get on you that way. I don't know where I read that. What? Is there anything to that, or is that just an old Rufus tale?
Well, I know that the ticks definitely love the tall grass, and they do this really interesting behavior where they'll crawl up to the top, and then they take their legs, their front legs out, and they're just kind of swaying, and they call that questing behavior. They're on a quest to find a host. And I guess because tall grass, you know, kind of gets up to about mid-height on a lot of us, they would likely catch us right there, and they'll try to get into your shirt and try to get in a nice little spot you can't see them and start feeding. So it's definitely good to check yourself after you've gone hiking if you're in an area with tall grass, because a lot of the ticks are just kind of hanging out.
I have a good friend who has suffered with Lyme disease, which is a very, very serious thing.
Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
So it's so essential to check yourself. And now, I learned from my mama, put nail polish on them, they're back out of there. But I use alcohol, too. What I don't drink, I put.
Now, there's also, when you mentioned the nail polish and all that stuff, is chiggers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Chiggers, awful. What an awful thing to have to, how do you avoid them?
Well, chiggers and ticks, you know, if you're using a repellent, DEET is often a very good tool to have in your toolbox. Just go ahead and spray all of your clothing, and hopefully, you know, if you encounter chiggers or ticks, they'll encounter that, and that'll provide you good protection. So,
okay. Yeah, it does a lot. And there are all kinds of, I mean, it's very safe, a lot of it. I mean, it's all been tested, and a lot I mean, I'm sure people are worried about putting DEET on their children, et cetera, but there are a lot of ways you can handle this. And there are repellents. There are natural repellents, too.
Yep, and we have resources through the Extension office. If you look up, you know, tick repellents, if you look up chigger repellents, we've actually got publications and things that recommend certain evidence-based repellents that have been tested, and then there's other ones that have been circulated around that maybe are not as effective. So we're helping share that information, which ones have really proven to be an effective insecticide or miticide.
Right. Yeah.
I'm excited about that little dance she says happens with the ticks that get up there and do a little dance.
I had never thought about that.
No, I hadn't either.
I'll probably think about that on the way home, and we'll probably take the wrong exit again.
So. We'll probably go to Chapel Hill.
Well, that wouldn't be a problem for you, would it?
No.
Take an excursion.
Yeah,
we're talking about.
Go on a quest.
we were up in Roxborough area one time, and
you're doing a radio show for
Mike decided
station
to take
owner.
A road back, and we ended up.
I didn't use my GPS, and we were told three different ways to get back to 501, and none of them worked. We ended up all of a sudden in Orange County, and then there was Guess Road, I said, boy, that seems for me. Is that the guest road that comes out on 85? Why don't we take that? And we did. So use your GPS if you don't know where you're going and you have people giving you different directions.
Sounds like a nice day stumbling around all the great places.
Everybody, that's right. Well, it's beautiful country. I mean, it's just gorgeous country up there. But, hey, good morning.
How are you?
We are so glad to be here.
Well, come on here.
Come on over here.
Yes. Meet our man, met our host, Mike Rayleigh.
How are you? Brother Rufus here. There's your very own here. There's your very own microphone.
Oh my goodness, I'm not sure I'm good for this.
Somebody gave me a strawberry. I'm gonna eat it here.
You absolutely should. Somebody else should do the talking while you're eating.
Mm. Yeah, you do it. You do it. You do the talking.
That's why you like the Weekend Gardener.
Yeah, why do you like the Weekend Garden?
I always learn something when I listen to you guys, especially about plants, Rufus. You give me so much information. Thank you.
How's about that?
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
You didn't go to law school for nothing.
I lost my husband. My husband's over here.
Are you shy?
He is. No, I'm the introvert. He's my, like, social.
You're an introvert?
Lord, you're an introvert. I don't think what he is.
Would you like to say something, sir?
No, I just let her karaoke with me two times, and she's turned into a microphone maniac. Hey, okay.
I think I found my voice, I guess.
I think you did. Would you like to sing something?
No, sir.
Rufus will sing with you. Boy, this is a good strawberry.
Well, thank you guys for coming.
We're so glad to be invited.
Absolutely. Mm.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks to Carolina Town and Country and all folks. Boy, this is good. This is good strawberry. I want to take a break, then we'll.
Well, when you stop choking on that strawberry, you take a break then.
I'm trying to be delicate here. Yeah, good. You're listening to the Weekend Gardener on WPTF. It's 8:48. More coming up from the Sanford Farmers Market here on WPTF. WPTF at 8:52 here in Sanford, downtown Sanford, the Sanford Farmers Market. Every time you buy a bag of black cow, you're helping the environment. Now, their process actually helps to repurpose manure. So that's environmentally friendly and beneficial. Is something we do quite often on the show anyway, is repurpose manure. But black cow contains up to 10 times more nutrients and microbes and garden soils, and it helps to retain moisture too. Your lawn, flower beds, and vegetable gardens be off to a great start with black cow. Everything grows better with sun, water, and black cow. For more details, check our website, blackcow.com. It's a great website. They have a lot of information. All right, Steve is with us in Garner. Steve, good morning.
Hey, how's it going today?
I'm doing well. I hope you are, sir.
How's the Sanford Farmers Market?
It is beautiful. It is extraordinary. I'm sorry you're not here.
Well,
Do follow us occasionally. And you and your wife come to our remotes.
The last two remotes you've had, you've been way out of town.
Yeah, we sure have. We're glad to be here today.
Yeah, Steve, that's one of those 5:30 mornings for me, and a 4:30 for Mike.
Anyway, I just wanted to call and let you know that our Daylily Club meeting is tomorrow.
Wonderful. And y'all have a speaker?
It will be a live remote at Windy Hill Gardens in Fuquay Varina. Our club president and her husband have a display garden down there.
Uh-huh.
And they are doing a live demo of propagating daylily.
Wonderful.
And it's Ray and Wanda Quinn, and it's a commercial garden. It's at 825 Tyler DeWar, DEWAR Lane in Fuquay. And anybody's welcome to come. It's open to the public. And they They are a commercial garden, so they do sell daylilies down there.
Fantastic. There's some really good gardeners in Fuquay.
Yeah, they have a beautiful, well-manicured estate down there with a huge daylily field. So
wow.
It'd be worth going to if you get time. It's at 2:00 on Sunday, and it's like I said, it's open to the public if you want to come.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you letting us know about that, my friend.
Yep, and my pear tree is just hanging full of squirrel food.
How about that?
Oh, well. I went out there yesterday to do my walkabout, and when I walked through there, I bumped my head going through the, you know, on the leaves in the tree.
Right.
And I looked up, and there must be thousands of little tiny pears coming out on that tree.
That's fantastic.
It's exciting to see it.
I'm sure it is.
It ain't gonna last. I got so many squirrels around my house.
Steve, take it easy, buddy, and thank you.
Yeah, I know you guys got to go for the news.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for
the
advertiser daylily meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling.
I love you guys.
Bye-bye. All right, we have Kelly Lodotti with us, Executive Director of Downtown Sanford, and you should really be proud. This is a beautiful town, and Rufus and I have been talking about the history of Sanford and the beautiful buildings that have been just the building that built the carriages that had
the buggy building.
The buggy building,
yes.
Yeah. How well maintained and reconstructed that is, it's just wonderful.
We are living in a wonderful city. We've had leadership here earlier. Mayor Salmon actually is our mayor right now. Mayor Mann was our former mayor, and he came into office with the Open for Business platform. And he really has pushed that hard for 8 years, built a wonderful city council group, and continued it on with Mayor Salmon right now. And she is leading the charge with the continued revitalization of downtown.
Yeah. It's such a clean city, it just seems like you're getting more and more exits every time I ride down this way. It's you're growing.
Yeah, if you could just take the right one.
Well, I know if I take the right one, I'd be okay.
Well, we have a running joke that we're a 15-year overnight success.
Yeah.
So people have discovered who we are, and they are tuning in quickly to the growth that's happening here in Sanford.
Kelly, she's gonna kill me, but a former employee of mine in the Attorney General's office was mayor here at one time. Are you going back a little bit and help me remember?
Could it be Mayor Olive?
Yeah.
Oh, look at there.
Absolutely.
All right. So Mayor Olive was before Mayor Mann. So
yes.
Mayor Olive started this revitalization of downtown, got that kind of footed and going and ready to go, and then Mayor Mann came in and with his Open for Business platform, and we were able to pass a bond referendum.
She was a wonderful employee.
She was a wonderful mayor.
Yeah, great.
You got them all over the place, Rufus. I mean,
yeah.
They're running the state now.
We hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I salute you. This farmer's market is wonderful, and I know it's growing.
It has my heart. I got to be real honest. COVID hit us, and I don't know what Meredith shared with you earlier, but COVID hit, obviously, that dreaded word.
Yeah.
And Bill called and said, hey, Kelly, we can't have a market anymore at the Extension office. Would you be willing to take it in back downtown? I said, only if we get to keep it. And look what's happened. So we, Joni Martin and I and Bill Stone started off with just a few vendors here. And we made it through COVID, growing it to well over 15 every Saturday with an average of 750 people per Saturday, 2020 and 2021. It's bloomed promotional events. Next weekend is Strawberry Jammin'. So that started in 2020 as a way to get people downtown. You know, we were all eating and with pods, right? Nobody could go outside their pod of who they were with all the time. So we decided to push people through downtown with food strolls.
Okay, we want to talk to you some more. We got to take a break. We've already been through an hour here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Thanks to Carolina Town and Country Hardware, Gross Farms, Ag South, all the folks in Sanford for coming on out.